Welcome to 2% with Michael Easter. Today is Monday, April 1st. Start of April. Exciting. Today's post is how I'm training for a 50-mile ruck. Now, the takeaways from this can help you ruck smarter so you can crush any distance and get fit. Very fit. That's what we're after. So a summary on this is that I'm going to explain to you how I am training for an 80K ruck that I am doing in Normandy in June. And from that, we are going to cover five big picture training strategies. So these are just kind of overall strategies you can apply to any rucking challenge that you're doing. Next, I'm going to explain how I am implementing those strategies and how you can implement them too. And then finally, we're going to finish with a sort of sample week of what my training looks like going into this thing. Now, you may not be rucking 50 miles, but the information that you will hear in this episode, it can help you ruck any distance better so you can improve your fitness. And the other thing of that, we're not only improving our fitness here because the ability to ruck farther, it also shifts your mindset. So long rucks really redefine what you consider long, and that in turn expands your comfort zone in all sorts of different physical endeavors. So it's a good thing to go after. Now, some quick housekeeping before we dive into the episode and its details. Someone messaged me over the weekend and they said, hey, I cannot afford to upgrade my membership to 2%. What can I do? I said, that is not a problem. We have a solution for you. All you have to do is share 2% with your friends. If they sign up, you will get free months of 2%. So I got a button right in the post at twopct.com that you can just fire that thing over. It'll know that it came from you. And if your friends sign up, you get some bonus points that you can cash in for free months. You don't even have to cash them in. It just automatically gives you free months. You'll get an alert about it. It's a pretty slick little system. Okay, now let's dive in. So I'm doing GoRuck's 80K ruck event in Normandy, France in June. It's all to commemorate the 80th anniversary of D-Day and Operation Overlord. It's going to be awesome. It's like a great reason to go do a big rucking challenge. We've got an amazing group of friends that is coming with me to do this thing. And it's just going to be a really great time. I'm really looking forward to it. So this ruck, 80K, that is 50 miles, we're all going to have 20-pound weight plates in our rucks. We're going to have water, food, and gear as well. So collectively, our rucks are each going to weigh about 30 to 35 pounds. And I will tell you, I am going to be, let's just say, fastidious when I figure out what is going in that ruck because I don't want to carry any more weight than I have to for 50 pounds. Now, you can't bumble into a ruck of that distance, right? You can't just be like, well, yeah, I can handle that. It takes some preparation and it takes some dedicated training in order to finish. Do I think that I could, you know, not really tactically train and finish this thing? Yeah, I could probably finish. But here's the deal is that I would stagger to the ending and it would be miserable from about mile 25 on. And I don't want to do that. So I am going to train for this. I have been training for this. I've been training for this at least the last month and a half about. So collective, I don't know, 3-4 months of training for this thing. So that's what we're going to talk about today. What I am doing to prepare for this event. We're going to talk about these five big picture strategies that I think about in terms of how you can prepare for a long rucking event like this and how I am. And then I'm going to talk about a sample week of my training. And the big picture is that you're going to get takeaways. You know, you don't have to be doing an 80K ruck like me for this stuff to matter and change how you think about rucking. This is all just good general information for increasing the amount of mileage you do rucking. Okay. First thing I am doing, we're going to first cover the five big picture training strategies that I am thinking about. The first one, spend more time on your feet. So this event has a 20-hour time cap. And so if all goes well, our group is probably going to finish anywhere. So if all goes well, our group is probably going to finish in anywhere from 15 to 18 hours. Now that is a lot of time on your feet. It's about 100,000 steps. If you assume that a mile is about 2,000 steps, we're walking 50 miles, you do the math, you got a lot there. Now, in the modern world, here's the thing. In the modern world, we have something of a mismatch between what our bodies can do and what they actually do. So in the past, humans took about 20,000 steps a day, every single day. And migrations could take days, weeks, or months of walking, just nonstop walking. So the human body really can endure an incredible amount of time on its feet, covering ground. But here's the thing, the average American, because of the way we've engineered our world for comfort and ease, and just the way our lives have changed unbelievably from the past, from how we work to how we recreate to how everything we do, right? The average American is now sedentary for about 9.5 hours a day. And by the way, that is a pre-COVID stat. So my guess would be that it's probably gone up a little bit. And we take roughly 5,000 steps a day on average. Now, obviously, that's average. If you're reading 2%, you're probably not average. But even the most highly active people don't consistently crack 20,000 steps a day. That's just, it's rather rare to sustain that. And so because we are generally more sedentary and we are walking less because of the way we've engineered our life and our world, we need to ramp up to spending prolonged periods walking and rucking. Yes, the human body is capable of it, but we've devolved in such a way that it takes a little bit of a ramp up in order to do that well without suffering too many consequences. So you got to get your body ready for what's to come. And the way to do that is simply spend more time on your feet. So here's what I am doing to spend more time on my feet. I am using a standing desk far more often, way more often. I am shifting my training to include more exercises where I'm covering ground on foot. So for example, let's say that my cardio that I did in the gym, I'm just making this up, was cycling and I would be on a spin bike, right? I'm going to shift that over to, you know, treadmill walking or something, just because I want to log as much time on my feet moving as possible as I ramp up for this event. So more time on feet. Next, I'm sneaking in as much walking and rucking as I possibly can. The little stuff really adds up. So for example, when I go get the mail now, I don't take the short way. Our mailbox is a little bit of a walk from our house, but I don't take the short way anymore. The short way is, say, 5-minute walk. I take the long way. The long way is about a 15-minute walk. It's just under a mile. So there you go. That's another way to sneak in activity. And by the way, it's of course not just the mail. It's like anything I can do to just get more time moving on my feet. I'm trying to do it. Number two, the second sort of big picture idea is you need to spend more time with your ruck on. So 15 to 18 hours is also a lot of time to have 35 pounds dangling off of your shoulders and back. It's just so much. When is the last time you had 35 pounds dangling off of your shoulders and back? Probably never, right? And so you can't expect your shoulders to cooperate if the longest ruck you've ever done is like 2 hours. Your shoulders by hour five are going to go, what the hell's happening? And they're going to scream at you. So like spending more time on your feet, incrementally spending more time with your ruck on can help you adjust so you're not miserable during an event like this. So here's what I'm doing to get more time with my ruck on. I am wearing my ruck at home in everyday life. So I wear it when I'm working at my standing desk often. It's just hanging there on me. I wear it while doing chores. I wear it while I travel. I basically have just shifted entirely to ruck so I can just ruck the airport when I travel quite a bit. I also wear it anytime that I walk my dogs, and I walk my dogs every single day. Now, one of the guys in our group, for example, we're all trying to find ways to sneak in more time with the ruck on. One of the guys in our group, it was some sort of convention, all day convention he attended. And he had his ruck on the entire time. I think he had 30 pounds in there and he just never took it off. He was walking around the convention hall all day with the ruck on. There you go. So you got to get a little creative. Number three, third big picture thing you need to do for a big rucking event is toughen your feet. So here's a fun fact. Blisters are the most common rucking injury and a top reason people quit long rucks. Now you can push through blisters, but it makes for an absolutely wretched experience. And this 80K that we're doing, it's supposed to be fun. It's not supposed to be a death march. We don't want it to be a death march. So we want to avoid blisters. Now there's plenty of tips and tricks you can do to avoid blisters, like use moleskin, alter your socks, get a bigger pair of shoes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But those are all the short game. They're the stuff that you do sort of right before and during a ruck to reduce the likelihood that you get a blister on that specific ruck. The long game, on the other hand, is to just toughen your feet. You got to beat the hell out of them so you can build some calluses. Calluses are natural protection against blisters. So here's doctors at Mount Sinai Hospital. They explain, and I'm quoting here, a callus is thickened skin on your hands or the soles of your feet. The thickening of the skin is a protective reaction. For example, farmers and rowers get calluses on their hands that prevent blisters from forming. But calluses don't form overnight. So calluses are this protective thing your body does so you don't get a blister. But they don't form overnight. They take some strategy. You need to bring your feet to the point just before a blister forms, and then you need to lay off. You need to let off. So your body gets this grinding up against it, and it's like, oh, something's weird here, but not to the point where you create an injury, which would be the blister. And so when your body has that, it goes, oh, okay, we should put some protection down here. Let's lay down some tough skin here. Your body does its thing, and then you get those calluses, and you therefore begin avoiding blisters with those calluses. And calluses, really, they are just a metaphor for living. So you do tough stuff at the edge of your limits, and you get tougher. You don't go over the limit. You kind of press up against that limit, and that limit expands over time. Rinse and repeat for life. So here's what I am doing to toughen my feet. I am walking around barefoot quite often. That is one thing. So I'll do this at home. I'll do this outside, you know, in my yard, sometimes down to the mailbox that I mentioned. I'm also wearing thin socks on my training rucks. That way I get a little more grinding up against my feet and can start to get some calluses. I'm also rucking in the shoes that I plan to wear on the ruck. So rule of thumb, never use new gear at an event. That way I can start to get calluses in the place that the shoes might potentially rub. Now, if you want more information on how to prevent blisters, I've got a killer deep dive on 2% TWOPCT, and I have linked to it in the piece. Okay, number four. Bulletproof your joints. The fourth thing I'm thinking about, bulletproof your joints. So we know that rucking puts a lot less wear and tear on your joints compared to running. And this is why it has a lower injury risk. So for example, one analysis found 27, and I'm quoting here, 27% to 70% of recreational and competitive distance runners sustained an overuse running injury during any 1 year period. 27 to 70% injury rate for running across a year. Pretty high. Very high. Now, rucking is more comparable to walking, and walking's injury rate is about 1%. Now, of course, the injury rate of rucking, it climbs as a person loads their pack. Basically, rule of thumb, the heavier your pack, the more likely you are to get injured. But, there's an important but, the risk is comparatively negligible at loads below 50 pounds. And that is according to studies from British and US military. So that's why I generally say, if you just want a rule of thumb of a weight not to go over, just don't go over 50 pounds. Like, you'll probably be fine. Yeah, we can get finicky and go, well, what if it's a third of your body weight? Fine, just keep it under 50 pounds. You don't even have to worry about it. Now, even so, we just talked about how rucking's injury rate is really low. At the same time, and even so, 50 miles is 50 miles. That's a long way to walk. And injuries generally stem from doing too much too soon of anything. Doesn't matter what it is. Now, I don't have the time to slowly build up to covering 50 miles regularly, right? So I can't necessarily prevent the too much too soon thing. So the best that I can do to prevent injuries, one of the best things, is strengthening and mobilizing the muscles around my joints, the site of most injuries. That is going to help reduce the likelihood of injuries. So what I am doing, I'm doing exercises that prevent shoulder issues. For example, dead hangs, doing those every day. Exercises that prevent back pain, bird dogs, I'm doing those at least a couple times a week. Exercises that prevent knee pain, for example, the quad lean back, backward sled pull, I'm doing the quad lean back pretty much every warm up, backward sled pull, try and do that maybe once a week. There you go. Okay, the fifth thing that I'm thinking about as I get into this is simply rucking often. Now look, we have jobs and lives, and I am not trying to win this event, and I do not have the time to train like rucking is my job. Yet I also, the catch is that I also need to ruck enough that I'm ready. So what I'm doing is I'm trying to kill two birds with one stone by sneaking rucking into regular life. So here's what I'm doing. I'm wearing my ruck when I walk my dogs. That's about 3 miles every single day. I'm wearing my ruck when my wife and I go for walks after dinner. That could be 1 mile, that could be 2 miles, who knows, who cares? The point is I'm just walking with my ruck on. I'm also taking work calls while rucking. So if I have a call and I know it's gonna last an hour, I do it on the phone. I say, hey, I don't wanna do Zoom. Can we just talk? Great. Then I toss on a ruck and I go. The ruck doesn't have to be some soul crushing weight. I usually use just 30 pounds and I just take the call while I'm rucking. That is a great way to sneak in rucking because otherwise I would have just sat and done nothing. All right. So we've covered those five things. Now, what does a sample training week actually look like? I'm going to cover a rough sample week of just sort of how I'm preparing for the event. You know, what does this look like across a week? Now, before I do, I want to thank my good friend, Doug Kachijian. You might remember him if you read The Comfort Crisis. He is the guy who got me physically prepared to go into the Alaskan backcountry for a month and I didn't die. So something's working. And he's basically the guy who I bounce all of my training off of. So this rucking plan came from the two of us basically putting our heads together, thinking on the topic and going, yeah, that sounds like a pretty good approach. Also, if you are in the New York, Connecticut, or New Jersey area, I would recommend checking out his practice. If you need PT work, you just want to get really freaking fit, you just want a brain to bounce your programming off of, whatever it is, his outfit is called Resilient Performance. It's awesome. I've linked to it in the post at twopct.com. Okay. Also a note before I explain every single day, I'm going to go every single day of the week and tell you what I'm doing. Note that the 3 mile morning rucks, you'll see a lot of morning 3 mile ruck. And those are when I walk my dogs. So we're counting that. All right. Monday in the morning, I do the 3 mile ruck with the dogs. In the evening of Mondays, I rest. Now, Monday is my rest day because Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, as you're going to soon find out, are pretty heavily active days. Tuesday, I do the 3 mile ruck in the morning. And then in the afternoon, I strength train. Now, when I strength train, I focus on a good warm up. So I always do the 2% warm up. And then I do drills that are really focused on bolstering my joints, if you'll say, making sure I don't get injured. Then I do one big total body exercise like trap bar deadlifts, just something that kind of hits everything, gets everything nice and strong. And then I do some safe and effective exercises that work my upper body. So for example, pull-ups and landmine presses. The reason for that is I want these to be safe because I don't want to injure a shoulder and then have to hang weight off it for 50 miles. So like I'm not trying to set any bench press records at this point, right? Because that's a exercise that comes with a high risk of shoulder injury. And again, not trying to injure my shoulder and then go ruck for 50 miles. That sounds awful. I also do drills that build durable legs that can go forever. For example, isometric split squats. And then I've linked out to another exercise. I don't even know what it's called, but it's super awesome. It links to a video. And then I do core exercises like hanging leg raises and various side plank variations. The strength workouts, they take about 1 hour total. Okay, Wednesday in the morning, I do a 3 mile ruck. In the afternoon, I do 60 to 90 minutes of slow cardio. Some people call this zone two. I basically gauge it by saying I can breathe through my nose the whole time. That tells me I'm probably in about zone two. I usually run so I can get that time on feet, but sometimes I will drag a sled. So Doug pointed out that sled dragging is a good non-running option, and that's because it carries over to rucking really well. It's a lot more muscularly fatiguing than running is, but it's a good way to prepare for the event without pounding on your body. Thursday, in the morning, I do a 3 mile ruck. In the evening, I do strength training again, similar to Tuesday, but with different exercises. Friday, that day, in the morning usually, sometimes in the afternoon, just depends on what's going on, I will do a long ruck. I ruck a little more each Friday until I hit my longest training ruck, which will be about 25 to 30 miles. Now, this doesn't always happen Friday. I kind of will mix and match days. Like if I have a busy Friday, I obviously don't have time to ruck 20 miles. I might do it on Thursday if Thursday's lighter and then strength train on Friday instead. You get the point. But the point is that I got one long weekly ruck where I'm kind of going further each week until I hit about 25 to 30 miles. That evening, I'll usually just take a short walk, maybe some mobility. I've put in a lot of miles that day. Don't need to do any more. Okay, Saturday. Saturday, I will usually do a 3 mile ruck in the morning, again with the dogs. And then in the afternoon and evening, I will usually go up to, I got a good community gym in the area that I live in. So I'll usually go mess around and do some sort of restorative strength work at that gym, just some basic stuff that I think I need. And then I will do some treadmill rucking. So with the treadmill rocking, I usually will put 50 to 60 pounds on the rock. I'll set the incline at 15%, which is the highest it goes. And then I will try to hit 1500 vertical feet and just build that up over time. Now the point is to go slow and steady and accumulate elevation. So when you're on a vertical, by the way, you've got the incline on, the machine will tell you how many vertical feet that you have gained. So I'm gauging my effort off of that vertical feet. Again, slow, steady. I call this the pack mule workout, and that's because it makes you feel like a pack mule. You will feel like a pack mule, trust me. All right, Sunday in the morning, I do a mountain trail run. I actually just got done with that a few hours ago. For these, I will go up to about 15 miles. My goal is to get a lot of vertical change. So I live by some mountains. We're doing mountains. And I try and stay at a pace where I can breathe through my nose the entire time. That's just a good way to make sure that I'm not going too hard. Now, sometimes when I'm going up hills, it's like, yeah, we're going to go a little harder, but it's not for the majority of it. That evening, Sunday evening, I usually will just take a walk to sort of shake off Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And that's it. Have fun. Don't die. Be a pack mule. Michael, as a reminder, we are brought to you by GoRuck, maker of the world's finest rucksacks. That's what I'll be using on this 50-mile slog through Normandy. I haven't decided exactly which pack I'm going to use, but I do know it'll be a GoRuck pack. I will use a hip belt. I will use the chest strap. So if you're doing a long ruck, I would recommend those. Easter gets you 10% off with GoRuck. I will be fueling on this long, long ruck with Momentous Nutrition, the company that made me feel good about supplements again. I'm going to have a few sleeves of their fuel product. That is an awesome mix of fast digesting carbohydrates as well as electrolytes. Really, really great for when you're doing long efforts. Easter gets you 15% off with them. And then finally, Maui Nui Venison. That is how I'm recovering and eating around all this training I'm doing. I usually have Maui Nui in some form every single day. It is the healthiest meat on planet Earth, and it tastes really good too. Easter gets you 15% off with them. Thanks for listening.